Welcome to my Bob Thurman podcast. I'm so grateful some good friends enabled me to present them to you. If you enjoy them and find them useful, please think of becoming a member of Tibet House US to help preserve Tibetan culture. Tibet House is the Dalai Lama's cultural center in America. All best wishes. Have a great day.
This is episode 236, Team of Rivals.
Hi, everybody. This is Bob Thurman again, and I'm going to do a short podcast on the occasion of being ready for the next round of primaries with Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden kind of in a horse race, and Joe Biden a little bit ahead. And with Elizabeth Warren and Mayor Bloomberg having dropped out, unfortunately. And a lot of most of everybody has dropped out. And I know you coming to my podcast wanting studies in Buddhism. And I do plenty of those. And that's my main thing. And but this is also Buddhism. In the sense that, take 2 points. The Buddha's teaching wants to educate human beings to be able to take responsibility for the whole planet and all other living beings, and in order to execute that responsibility of taking care of them and helping them be more free from suffering, being, that student, has to be happy themselves. You never have the power or the energy to make another happy if you're not happy yourself. If you just join with the other one in misery, if you have that wrong idea of that's what compassion is, then you will simply not be able to help them. You'll just add to the misery. So that's what it is. And now we're in a planetary crisis. And we all need to pitch in with Greta Thunberg, Al Gore, and other enlightened people. Actually, Mayor Bloomberg is one of them who devoted a lot of effort to the climate. And there are many, you know, Jay Inslee, governor of Washington, he did huge, he has a wonderful plan. The Green New Deal people, like Ocasio-Cortez and others, they're all ready. And Bernie is also ready. Joe Biden, I'm afraid, is not quite so clear about it, although he's paying lip service. But on the other hand, he has donors who are in the fossil fuel industry and frackers, you know, and things like that. And I'm not sure that he will want to push them as hard as they need to be pushed. And the world will also not sure. But however, I will vote for Joe Biden with wholehearted enthusiasm if he becomes the nominee. But I will only worry if he goes by himself, so to speak, maybe with one person as a vice president, if he will make it to victory past all the lying, the voter suppression, the cheating, Fox News propaganda department, you know, the Goebbels honorary network known as Fox News. Rush Limbaugh, if he still survives that long, they will all be lying and be dumping on him. Even the Senate is going to investigate his son and try to create like a spectacle of corruption because of Hunter Biden, which I'm sure was not that bad, nothing special. But they will make a huge stink about it. And can he survive all of that if he goes by himself? And similarly, in the other direction, if Bernie should win, I am worried whether by himself Bernie can win. And here I have to call Bernie to account a little bit. Of course, I will vote for Bernie with total enthusiasm, total support if he becomes a nominee. However, if he goes by himself, I am uncertain as to whether he can win. We might go down to defeat the way we did with Hillary. She won even the popular vote, but she was still defeated because she went by herself. She didn't take Bernie as a vice president, which she should have. Instead, she took a guy who nobody ever heard of, Tim Kaine, another white guy, and taking for granted all the people of color's votes. And she got a lot of them, I'm sure, too, but not all of them, and not with the level of enthusiasm. She would have had the young people, the Bernie people, been out there really stretching their energy and their effort for her, as she would have had she taken Bernie as a vice president. He was the runner-up. He should have been the vice president. So this, my point is that where I'm saying I'm calling Bernie to account is this. He calls, he did all through 2016, he has ever since, and he did this time, and I applaud him for it, saying we need a political revolution. Elizabeth joined him, although I wouldn't say he joined her, actually, unfortunately. And we do need a political revolution. And just so people know, what a political revolution means is not a violent revolution. It's not a life and death revolution. It's a revolution through the ballot box. It's a revolution through voting, through people getting out and expressing their determination that things should go in a good way. Going all by yourself to the presidency after defeating your rivals in the primaries is not a political revolution. It is politics as usual. If you do politics as usual, what credibility do you have calling for a political revolution? You may get stuck in politics as usual once you get in. And if you've lost all your friends in the Democratic Party by having knocked off those who were gutsy enough to actually run for office, which is a huge job itself, huge effort, then maybe many of the people in your own party will not be that fond of you and not agree with you, and you may lose a lot of seats to the other party because you'll be at the head of the ticket, and you may be completely paralyzed in that situation because, in fact, you didn't do a political revolution starting in the primaries. So I want to see what is the alternative to going by yourself. And really, I'm telling this podcast to people who are determined to see our government turn back to serve the people, to serve the planet, to serve all beings. And that's very Buddhist. So those of you who are my Buddhist friends, please don't be upset that I'm just talking about U.S. politics. But the point is, if the U.S. government was serving all people instead of just, going against the planet, polluting everything, destroying our alliances who are pro-democracy, catering to fascist dictators and oligarchs, and being dishonest and lying and harming the people themselves, taking away their health care, taking away their social security, not even taking care of the people who voted for them. If we have such a government, then where in the world is the leadership going to come from, given our role after the World War up until now, to take all the governments in the right direction? Where is it? So this is truly Buddhist. The Buddhist vote goes to the Democrats, for sure. But we don't want maybe we'll win the Democrats. We want definitely we win Democrats. And we want those who can prove it ahead of time, which is now. So now Thomas Friedman, my dear Thomas Friedman, I've had this plan, which I have called the Dream Team Cabinet Campaign Strategy for the Dems, which I had the first time I saw all the 18 or however many there were, including my beloved Marianne Williamson. I saw her and them all in a row. And I saw, well, now the media wants these people to fight each other. That's like a horse race. That's exciting. And also the media likes people who give them tax cuts. They're all very well paid people who work in the media. They're not hard up for the next $400. They have good health insurance. So they're not really into a political revolution. They're into getting more eyes on their network, more money and bigger salaries and more success. And they are their advertisers and the people who are paying them are the fossil fuel industry, pharmaceutical industry, the big agricultural industry, the big food industry, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, the diabetes industry, which I call them the diabetes industry, you know, Dr. Pepper, all of these fructose, high fructose corn syrup drinks that ruin people's health. So they want to provoke a fight. So obviously, and dear Cory Booker said it very well, I thought, in the early debates, we're all more together than we are apart. We all want really the same things in different degrees, different speeds, different views of it. But we all do really want the same thing, including Biden, including Tulsi Gabbard, including all of them. And that should have been the dream team from then. You know, what I wanted them to do was to go in a room in a resort somewhere, locked away from the press, decide which one has which skills and which one has biggest focus on which problems, and then imagine that someone already is the president and appoints them to all cabinet positions. They then emerge from that room and they tell the public, tell the media, to the shock of everyone and complete freak out of Fox News and Mr. Trump as well. And they say, we are not going to do a conventional primary. We are going to work together and we're going to lay out our own positions in a cabinet. We will campaign in the sense that we will campaign for our whole team. Each one of us will promise that if we become the nominee for president or vice president, in other words, the two top positions in the ticket, we will replace ourselves in the cabinet position that we have put ourselves with someone who will execute the program that we wish to see executed, of course, but bring their own creativity to it, naturally. But we will absolutely not fire people we don't agree with, but who are in positions where their skills are usable and highly effective, and we reward them in that way for having the guts to run for president, which is a nightmare job. In fact, it's a total stressful work. So then, you know, Elizabeth, Secretary of Treasury, Bernie, Secretary of Health, Buttigieg, Secretary of Education, Cory Booker, Secretary of State, Joe Biden, Secretary of State, or Cory Booker, Secretary of Defense, or etc. You know, I outlined different ones, played with it. And this is one thing I want to suggest to you, that you play with it. You go back, you look up all the positions in the cabinet, you look up all the candidates who ran in the Democratic Party, maybe pick a few from Republicans even for certain things, and put them in the positions. I mean, everything, CIA director, defense secretary, and national intelligence, all of them, where they would be really good. And then the campaign, because, and then you accept all the billionaires who want to help. Tom Steyer, totally on board, and Mayor Bloomberg also on board. And any other billionaires who want to be good billionaires, who want to go in the right direction to save the planet, use some of their billions to do that. They're welcome, 100%. Nobody should make them unwelcome, even if they did things that people didn't like in the past, as long as they pledge not to repeat them, which I'm sure they would if they want to run, if they want to serve. And that now, then the way they campaign is, instead of fighting each other on network TV, they hold rallies all over the country. They're funded by small donations like everyone tries to do, and they're also openly funded by the good billionaires, Bloomberg, Steyer, who also can compete themselves, and they can fund everybody. And the way they fund is that they hire planes and they hire arenas all over the country, and by twos and threes and fours, the candidates go to these places and they hold rallies. You know, after all, the liar in chief is going there all the time campaigning. That's all he does is campaign. He doesn't govern, doesn't know what to do about governing. He campaigns. And he lets people who he's put in, who are quite not nice people, like people who hate immigration or running immigration, people who hate you know, ecology. They're the head of EPA, you know, so but he doesn't govern other than that, putting in people who are against whatever the agency is supposed to do. He puts them in there. Rick Perry, Secretary of Energy, who said in earlier campaigns he would abolish the Secretary, the Department of Energy. So they would be campaigning like that for their team as a whole. And then they would, when the primaries came up, people would cast their votes. And the ones with the highest number of votes would be the president nominee. The one with the second highest would be vice president nominee. And the others would be those cabinet positions for which they had mutually decided they wanted. Or some people might, some of the senators, like Amy, maybe Elizabeth, might decide that it was so important to have the Senate back, maybe they would stay in the Senate. I don't know. You know, it's up to each one. But the point is, basically, you take the diversity and the disagreement between the different rival people, and you take that into the White House, around the cabinet table, so that the people feel who are affiliates or aficionados of each one of the people would feel their person has a voice there. Maybe they'd be disappointed their person wasn't the president, but they didn't get the most votes. But they'd be happy at least that person is having their voice heard in the cabinet and respected as a cabinet executive department cabinet member. Now, to my joy, I didn't write this as an op-ed, this idea of mine. I did write op-eds, but I never posted them. I think I talked about them in some of the previous podcasts. But I was advised by people who know the politics to wait until there's clear front runners or a front runner, and then try to get this idea to that front runner, because to give it to the ones who are in the weaker position, maybe they're just sort of trying to climb on the front runner, you know, maybe they don't have the motive to try it, you know. But now we have clear front runners, Joe and Bernie. And between of the two, each one has very great strengths, and each one by themselves has very great weaknesses. All their weaknesses have been exposed, of course, by the media and by their rivals. And the enemy is sitting there salivating to attack them. You know, the communist Bernie, they're going to say. And weak Joe or like dippy Joe, I don't know, whatever they're going to say. And throwing doubts, and the corrupt Joe, also they're going to say. Throwing doubts on the integrity and the ability of Joe. Throwing doubts on the proper Americanism of the social democratic socialist, you know, independent socialist Bernie. And that's going to be very dangerous in many states. So then to my delight, the great Tom Friedman, professional op-ed writer, way better than I could write an op-ed, New York Times, he writes on the 27th of February, I believe, he wrote it, Dems, you can defeat Trump in a landslide. You can promise voters something our narrow-minded president won't. Thomas L. Friedman, February 25th it was. And that by then there were only seven candidates in the debate. So he says, basically same thing, run as a team. And he brilliantly picks up the Lincoln expression, the great Abraham Lincoln, team of rivals. And he says, that's all I'm thinking. He's only worried about, at that time, Bernie was front runner, not Joe, but he says, I'm worried about if the election turns out to be just between a self-proclaimed socialist and an undiagnosed sociopath, we will be in a terrible, terrible place as a country. How do we prevent that? That's all I'm thinking about right now. He's thinking about, I've been thinking about it only for 6, 7, 8 months. It's all I can think about. And a lot of us, I know, not just me. I'm retired, you know. My short answer is the Democrats have to do something extraordinary. Forge a national unity ticket. Again, good term I didn't use. National unity ticket, the likes of which they have never forged before. And that's true even if Democrats nominate someone other than Bernie Sanders. What would this super ticket look like? Well, I suggest Sanders, and here he puts Michael Bloomberg, because at that moment Bloomberg looked very strong. But here we would say, of course, Joe Biden, his most viable long-term challenger, and Sanders and Biden are the two at the moment. They should lay it out this way, and I'm going to read what he says. Quote, "I want people to know that if I am the Democratic nominee, these will be my cabinet choices, my team of rivals." Thank you, Tom, for that great choice of phrase. "I want Amy Klobuchar as my vice president. Her decency, experience, and moderation will be greatly appreciated across America, and particularly in the Midwest." So that's his choice. "I want Mike Bloomberg or Bernie Sanders as my Secretary of the Treasury." This is now thinking either one. In other words, if it's Sanders, he puts Bloomberg in Treasury. If it's Bloomberg, he puts Sanders in Treasury. "Our plans for addressing income inequality are actually not that far apart. And if we can blend them together, it will be great for the country and reassure markets. I want Joe Biden as my Secretary of State. No one in our party knows the world better or has more credibility with our allies than Joe. I will ask Elizabeth Warren to serve as Health and Human Services Secretary. No one can bring more energy and intellect to the task of expanding health care for more Americans than Senator Warren. I want Kamala Harris for Attorney General." There he and I agreed. You know, I wanted Elizabeth Warren in Treasury, Bernie in Health and Human Services, but, and, you know, and I wasn't thinking Bloomberg at the time, but I want him to fund all of them if he's not president, you know. And whatever department he wants, he can be HUD secretary and rebuild the cities or infrastructure or something. Anyway, let me go on with Friedman's choices. "I would like Mayor Pete as Homeland Security Secretary. Kamala Harris as Attorney General." That's a no-brainer. She's the best. "I would like Mayor Pete as Homeland Security Secretary. I would like Tom Steyer," I'm not reading all his reasons, "Tom Steyer to head a new cabinet position as Secretary of National Infrastructure." Great idea. "I'm asking Cory Booker, the mayor of Euclid, to be Housing and Urban Development." I think he's forgetting that he already was Housing and Urban Development. And since Biden is one of the front runners, I think we put Cory Booker as Secretary of State. I think that's really great. That would be really good to have Cory Booker as Secretary of State, I think. So anyway, I'm asking, and this is great, brilliant of him. I wouldn't have thought of it, but I agree with it. "I'm asking Mitt Romney to be my Commerce Secretary. He's the best person to promote American business and technology abroad, and it is vital that the public understands that my government will be representing all Americans, including Republicans. I would like Andrew Yang," that's really good, "to be Energy Secretary, overseeing our nuclear stockpile and renewable energy innovation, and also green nukes." That's my addition. It'd be awesome. And then he puts Alexandria, "I would like Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to serve as UN Ambassador." Can you imagine? That's really great. Then he puts Bennett as Secretary of Education. I actually wanted Mayor Pete as Secretary of Education because he's so smart. But okay, Bennett, you know, they're fine. And one person that he didn't mention, Tom Friedman, but I mentioned, I want to have Marianne Williamson as Secretary of Peace and make a new department out of the Peace Institute, which was originally meant to be a department by Senator, the late, great Senator Daniel Inouye from Hawaii. It was passed through the Congress decades ago and then was degraded to just be, like an institute in Washington, but it is federally funded. So I would make that a department to really beef up and work closely with the State Department, of course, but with a slightly different mandate to really look at the roots of conflicts, like the roots of the Taliban, and really get in there and try to help the State Department make peace with the Taliban, since the military cannot, of course. They can only fight them, you know. And that may, and this fake peace that Trump is pretending to make now is going to just blow up in our face again, because Al-Qaeda is there, ISIS is there. They're all there in Afghanistan. And Taliban will not compromise with a secular, women-driven government in Afghanistan. They will not, once we're out of there. So we'll be having to go back. So it's fake. It's just doing it for the election. And then he puts William McRaven as a Secretary of Defense, which probably Admiral William McRaven, who wrote some nice things, he said, about how Edmund Burke, the Irish statesman and philosopher, once said that only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And he's really quite good, I think, McRaven. It's fine. So this is wonderful. And thank you, Tom Friedman. I'm so grateful for you for this op-ed. And the reason I'm doing this short podcast today, which I hope will get out quickly, my friends will help me get it out, I hope, is that I haven't seen anybody else pick up on this op-ed, which was the 27th of February. That's almost 10 days ago. And I think it should be on everyone's lips. Everyone should be talking about it. If a few hundred of you, if any number of you will look at it, will happen to check this podcast out, please spread it, you know, Twitter it, get it out there, get it to Biden, get it to Bernie, especially also Bernie. Bernie, they go alone, they can't make it. They have these liabilities, you know, but if they bring their opponents, their rivals, in with them, then people can't really pick on them that much. Oh, you're a socialist. Yeah, but Elizabeth Warren's a capitalist. Mayor Bloomberg's a capitalist, you know. And I'm working with him and I'm listening to him. And I don't have, maybe I have responsibility as president if that's what I, if I end up as the nominee and the elected one. But, you know, I can't get rid of them because I've made that promise to the public. So they'll be there advocating against my exaggerations and my extremist maybe points. So this can't turn into some sort of socialist horrible situation. Bad kind of socialism, you know. It will, my socialism and their capitalism will come up with something good in between. And that's credible when you bring them with you. But it's not credible if you don't. And similarly, Joe, you have all these donors and you're not rich. And you know you're accepting favors from wealthy people, and people will, the young people will believe you're just going to be a sellout Democrat, and Trump voters will believe we have, well, Trump, I didn't like this and that he did, but he keeps shaking these people up. This guy's not going to shake anybody up, and they'll keep voting for Trump. But if you bring revolutionary, political revolutionaries, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders in there with you. Even Sanders would be your run-up, obviously, at the worst. He'll be your runner-up, and you bring him in as vice president. Then it's very credible. Joe is, it's the new Joe. It really is the new Joe. And you have to tell, and your donors, and you don't really have to suck up too much to your donors because you got Mike Bloomberg. He's donating everything to everybody. And he's going to be, he should get some really excellent position, whatever he wants, whichever one he wants. He can be Secretary of State if he likes. Because he's funding everyone to get it right, and he doesn't want anything for it. He has enough money. He doesn't need any more things. That's the kind of people you can accept big money from. That's a good billionaire. And try not to say the word rich and billionaire like it was an insult. In our system, that means they worked hard. They were lucky. They did something. We have a fake billionaire, pretend billionaire, or in the White House even. And he's not bad because he's a billionaire. He's bad because he's not a billionaire. And he's using the government to try to become a billionaire and overcome all his bad management over his lifetime and all his bad debts and all his burning of people who work for him and so forth. And that's all well known. So be grateful for a good billionaire and work closely together as long as he's willing to do so. Don't just assault him for some past crimes or past toughness or past whatever he did, some joke he cracked or whatever. Forget that. We have no time. We're in a planetary emergency. We're in a national emergency. Team of Rivals, national unity campaign and platform, as Tom Friedman urged you to do, who is the voice of millions of readers who approve of Tom Friedman. Please, please, please take this suggestion to heart. Tom Perez, Democratic National Committee, Nancy Pelosi, most beloved Speaker of the House of Representatives, please take this for sure. And then put a lot of money, Mike, into the Senate, because we can, keeping the House and getting the Senate. So we have a clean slate for the political revolution starting November 5th or 9th or whatever the date is, 9th, 2020, to go with full 2020 vision into 2021 and the decade of saving the world, really. The Greta Thunberg decade to save this planet and all life on Earth and our own human species as well. Okay, thank you so much. And Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya.
The Bob Thurman Podcast is published by Tibet House US, Menlo Retreat, and Dewa Spa through a Creative Commons, no derivatives, non-commercial license. Please feel free to share on your favorite social media platforms. Thanks for tuning in and hope to see you online at Tibet House and at Menlo Retreat in 2020. Tashi Dalek, and thanks for tuning in.